Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. I'm just getting the stream on 1-2 Radio up. They made me verify something, which slowed me down because of poor planning. But here we are. It's all good. It's just fine. Just getting signed in and ready to roll here. So. There we go. Okay. Let me connect my microphone and we'll be good to go here. Okay. We're going to start over so for the radio piece. So, hey everybody, welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. I'm glad to be here. It is the 14th of April if you're listening live. And if you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that I am over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that I'm live streaming this event, and you can watch that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook. And look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So that's the way to connect. I was actually very prepared this morning until like 20 minutes ago, and now I feel like I'm not, and my sweater has dog hair on it. So guess such is life when you live with a bunch of dogs. Anyway, I hope that you guys are well and that you had a good week. I was very sorry to miss last week. I had an appointment with the gastro, and as you know, trying to get into specialists can be a bit of a jam anyway. And their office had called me on Monday night and asked me if I could possibly come in at an earlier time, and so I just had to miss the show, so that sucks. However, they had some very helpful information for me that's helped me a lot. So, hey, you know, I guess you give and you take, right? Our weather has gone to hell here. It is really cold, windy, blustery, just generally shitty, which kind of sucks. But, you know, it's probably the trade-off that we are paying for right now, considering that we didn't really have winter, like, at all. We hardly had any snow whatsoever. I think we only dipped under zero one time. So it's all pretty crazy, but at any rate, we might be paying for it a little bit now because our weather has gotten really cold. But I can live with that. I wanted to show you what my birds out front look like, but for some reason, Facebook's not letting me save my video. So let me share it to myself here quickly and I will send it over to you. The birds this year have been crazy. Crazy. And it's been super awesome, actually, because I've done a lot of bird watching this spring. Right? About time you return, slacker. I know. I've been quite the slacker lately. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm usually stable, Mabel. Okay. Finally. Hey, Amy. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. I just want to show you these birds because, and I, this is going to be kind of loud. I didn't mute it, and it's, you aren't hearing much of the birds. There's just so much wind and stuff. But I just wanted to show you who's visiting my feeder. This isn't my crow feeder. This is just my regular bird feeder. Aren't they cute? All the little yellow ones? I call them wild canaries. Scott said he thinks they're actually finches. I don't actually know what they are, but they're so cute. There's a crow in the background. They're everywhere. So that's all. There's those guys that are the yellow ones, like the little hens have a little bit of yellow, and the what do they call it? Do you suppose they're roosters or drakes? I don't know what the males are considered, but the little males are like the ones with the brighter yellow. And then there's red ones too that have kind of a dusty red head in the females, and the males are a little bit darker red. And then there's all these blackbirds that have red and yellow spots on their wings, and they are cute too. They're really cool. They're quite a bit bigger than those little guys. And there's one that is in their flock that has way more pronounced red on his shoulders. He looks like a little linebacker. He looks like he has on big shoulder pads, and he marches around the yard and kind of bosses everybody else around, and he is precious. So anyway, I am obviously, as usual, having fun with my birds. But a few nights ago, Scott was out in the front yard, and he called me and said, "You better come out here and see what I'm seeing." There were six osprey up in a tree above my house. Six. Those are big hawks. Are they big enough to pick up a chihuahua? Maybe. Little teeny Bruno. Yeah. I don't know why they were here. This is not a spot that you would see. I mean, maybe occasionally, but anyway, they circled around and around the neighborhood. They finally landed in the neighbor's tree, and they were up there for a long time. We finally, it was getting dark, and we gave up and went in the house, but I don't know how long they were there. Luckily, our chicken coops have tops on them because, yes, they could definitely be stealing chickens or little chickens. So I have no idea what that was about or why in the world they'd be in my neighborhood, but they were making me real nervous. Crazy stuff. But I even have been in the glass room a little bit. Now, I have had four big fails. I'm trying to make these waterfall drop vase things that are really cool. And I've made four, and all four of them have failed thus far. It's like I've got the fundamentals down, but somehow we're not quite, our setup is just not quite right. So it's a pretty cool process. It's you set up a big stand in the kiln, and you have to, come up with stuff that can withstand the heat of the kiln, because we're heating, well, this glass gets heated to about 1365 degrees. So, stainless steel will hold up in the kiln, and then specialized kiln posts. They call it kiln furniture, but anyway, you stack up this whole configuration in the kiln, which is wild business, and then you cut glass and stack it side by side, so it's just kind of a pile of glass that you stack in there, and it's all gonna melt and run down through a hole in the top of your setup, and then it makes these vases that actually are like full tubes, and it's pretty cool. And that part is working. We're just getting too much glass at the top. And then the last ones that just came out, I thought they worked. I was so excited to get them out this morning, and I was going to share them with you guys. And they did not work. They stuck to the metal tray thing, and yeah, they did not turn out. So sad day because they're really cool, and I really want this to work. But anyway, that's what I'm working on. So, because I'm just getting two failures at a time. But at the same time, I keep thinking that what I'm doing is going to work, and then I'll have, something to show for myself. So I don't know. But I've got to change something about what I'm doing. I mean, I've changed every time, but I'm still not there. It's a real study in physics and temperatures and positioning and the lengths of glass, and there's a lot to think about in your setup. But I know I can get it right. This is what the setup looks like. So it's up on a tray. It's a stand thing you can see. It's like 7 inches tall. And then the glass itself, you can't tell in this, but there's a hole in the center of the stand. and then those are kiln posts that are kind of holding the glass together. So that's what it looks like, the setup. And in a perfect world, that glass runs down and kind of pools at the bottom and creates kind of a, it creates a tube that actually holds water. So I'll show you a failure so that you know what I'm talking about. But thus far, I think I'm using too much glass. Not too much glass. I'm not using too much glass, but I'm getting too much glass just hanging out at the top. I know this is a boring conversation, but this is what's in my head right now. And you know how my brain works. ADHD to the core. So that's how the first ones turned out. So they weren't fails in that they did hold water. So you can see how all that stuff at the top, that's all the glass that did not melt and run down. So that's why it was a fail, because I still had this big lump of glass at the top that should have run down through the hole and made a longer or a stronger stem and pooled up more at the bottom, but it didn't. So that was my problem. That's what the top looks like. So you can see where there's a hole in it. And this held water. It holds water all the way to the base, which is crazy. The way that forms a tube all by itself. But again, way too much glass at the top. So the second tries, I got less glass at the top. But they both stuck to the kiln shelves and broke. So anyway, that's where my brain is right now. It's trying to puzzle out exactly how to make this work. So my new setup is not going to be the stainless steel plates. I'm going to make a whole stand thing for it out of clay, because I think that will be, I can slope it more so that the glass runs a little bit easier. And, well, also the stainless steel plates are expensive as hell. And I think I can just make it better that way. So we'll see. But I also made these tiny little plant stakes. Look how cute they are. They're just itty bitties. Like, they're not very long. I thought these would just be cute in my little plants. Because a lot of plant stakes that I have made and that you see everywhere are big, tall suckers. And honestly, a lot of my plants are in fairly small pots. So I thought it might be fun to just make some little teeny plant stakes. And maybe that wouldn't be a task so monumental that I couldn't just sit down and complete it in a day, which I did. I mean, come on. You know, that's not a lot. But I think these turned out cute. But I'm also working on a little magnet series that I think is really fun. I'm hoping you can really see these. Not very well. I'm trying. So they're just clear glass. That have a little seabed, a little green seabed, and then they have little fishes in them. And I think they're really cute. So the one metal that you can incorporate in work in a kiln is copper. It'll change color. So it usually turns some shade of green or sometimes blue, depending on what you're doing. But essentially, it turns out or reddish. So they kind of green or blue or reddish kind of colored. But you can put copper and cut copper and put it inside of your sculptures and stuff, which I think is kind of cool. So these little fish I hand cut a while back and I've just had them hanging around waiting to want to do something with them. And I finally put them into a set of magnets. So they just need the corner sanded down a little bit. I've got some sharp edges and have actual magnet backs put on them. I'm going to show you a picture too, because you can't see the bubbles in what I was trying to show you, but they're full of bubbles and it's really, in my opinion, pretty cute. Oh my gosh. Has anyone else's computer started saving everything as a JFF? I have no idea why this is happening. Apparently it's a setting, and I can't figure it out, but it's so annoying. So everything I save saves as a JFF, and then I have to go back and find it and save it as a JPEG, or most of the programs I use won't recognize it. I did some reading on it, and apparently it's a glitch of some sort that happens thanks to Google. So thanks, Google. This super sucks, and I hate it. There we go. So you can see the little fishes in there and all the bubbles. Aren't those cute? So that's what's going on in my brain. A little bit of clay and a lot of glass and a lot of air. Oh gosh. Anyway, been a very weird energy the past few days. The daily dish every day makes me cringe a little bit because it's been all about solitude and emotional withdrawal and kind of needing people to just leave you the hell alone and, patience, patience and waiting and things going slow has come up multiple times the last few days, which isn't something that anybody likes to hear. Or maybe you do. Maybe you're a rester. And it feels good to you. Maybe it does. I hope so. Yeah. Shireen, that's really weird because I put my... You know what? She said that... Okay. She said the on-demand hasn't been updated for a while. I always do the on-demand. However, I have missed a bunch of shows. So that may actually be why. That might be why. But I'll go back and double check. But I'm pretty sure everything I've done this year is there. But I'll bet it's simply that I have missed stuff. So I'll double check, though. But yeah, I've missed, what do you guys, 5 shows this year? So you might just not be seeing them because they're just not there. But yeah, sorry about that. But I'm good, glad to see your face right now. Laura. Oh, Laura, I'm so damn sorry. Laura said, I had an awful tragedy in my life last week. I lost my brother to suicide. I was wondering if you could check to see if he's okay, and also any energy work you're moved to offer me, I would welcome. Okay. Yeah, let's take a look. Laura, I'm so sorry. Dang it. All right. Yeah, honey, he's okay. He crossed over. He's fine. He's relieved and deeply worried about you and others. All right. I'm just going to put a big mangonel calcite in your heart chakra to help with grief. And this might be something we need to work together on one-on-one to just help get you some balance. Get you balanced and centered here. This really threw your root chakra into a huge tailspin, as it would. Okay, well, that's what I've got for you right now, but I'm so sorry, babe. Dang it. Okay. Alrighty, well, let's talk about our topic today. Oh, Amy said, sending love to Laura last week. It was rough at their house too. Her daughter also attempted. God, I am so sorry. It's been a really hard road for people. I'm sorry, Amy, sending so much love to your family and to your daughter. Terrifying. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to share my screen here. Oh, we've had the craziest thing happen in our family over the weekend. So my niece, Mia, who's getting married here in a couple of months, and her. Fiance, Tanner, amazing kid. Love Tanner. Love him. So happy he's going to be a part of our family. But Tanner and Mia got up on Sunday and went to go somewhere to discover that Tanner's car was gone. Like from their apartment complex, gone. So Mia has a car too. So they drove Mia's car to go. They were coming to a family dinner. And Tanner called the sheriff's office and let them know that his car was missing. As it turns out, his car was stolen by a bunch of teenagers who drove his car clear to the Boise Valley area and beyond that. Like they almost got clear to Oregon. So they were about 6 hours from home. Apparently, at 4 a.m., they sideswiped a car. And someone called them in and said that they thought they were drunk driving. So the police finally find these idiots, and they get in a high-speed chase with the cops, end up hitting a tree and going over a cement pylon, and at that point it finally disables the car. It broke the back axle in half, sheared one of the tires clear off. And that's how the police finally caught up with these kids. So, some of the details have been a little dicey. They were in the hospital, but it sounds like none of them were seriously injured, thank goodness. And that's down by where my kids live. And so, Tanner had asked Micah to go over and take some pictures of the car. It was at a tow yard and get his belongings out of it because the car is most definitely totaled. So Mars and Micah went over there yesterday, and that car is full of booze. Yeah, these kids were definitely drinking. They're lucky to be alive with what they did. But yeah, there was a ton of alcohol in the car that was already drank, like cans and bottles and stuff, but also quite a bit of alcohol in the car that wasn't drank yet. Like, what the hell was the end game here? The good news is his insurance is working on it, and it should be okay. The bad news is that should he need to sue the parents of the driver to help reimburse him for his car, this kid is a ward of the state, so he'll be fighting the state of Idaho. So that kind of sucks. That might not be in his favor, but and good news, nobody was seriously hurt. The kids are okay. Everybody's okay. I mean, obviously, these kids are going to be, in hot water. You can't be doing the Grand Theft Auto, But anyway, so yeah, this whole drama played out on Sunday. It's absolutely crazy. Yeah, but the good news is they're all okay. All right, well, let's get to it. So, the topic of the show and of Luminous this week is a season of living fully, because I was thinking about my sisters and I have discussed this several times lately, that we just feel like since COVID, and I know this is crazy because COVID was 5 years ago, but since COVID, we have all kind of felt like we just don't get out as much as we used to. We don't do the things that we used to do as much. And I know for Scott and I feel like we tend to kind of fall down the rabbit hole of just staying home and doing little, and it's okay. I mean, we're working on things at home. I have read a lot of books this last year or two, but there's a lot that we're not doing that I wish we were. I was just thinking about what does it look like to really live fully. Now, listen, I know that we're all in different ages and stages of our lives. I know that we all have different schedules, that we all have different goals, we all have different health situations. We live in different areas. I get it. So I put together an article talking about and suggesting different ways to challenge yourself over this next, through the spring and into summer season to live fully. To get out more to, and it's not just getting out, don't get me wrong. It's just more about living richly in whatever way suits you. I think, especially here in the States, we have gotten way too conditioned to working, that is what you do, right? And I mean, how many people do you know that work more than 40 hours a week? A lot. We work. We pay our bills. We eat, we sleep. We need more thriving. We deserve more thriving. We get so stuck in routine and all of the shoulds and what's required of us to live and to get by. I mean, it's also true that we live in a pretty tough economy, and a lot of people end up working a lot just to get by, and I totally understand that and respect that too. But I think that I have some ideas for you for setting some goals. And this is where it's at for me. I have to set some goals. I have to take a look at what's out there and what I want to do and make a plan. Otherwise, I just won't do it. And so I thought it would be a good time right now to talk about things we can do and goals we can set to live fully. So, obviously, creative sparks. I'm always sad when I visit with someone and I ask them what their hobbies are and they don't have any. It's not a criticism, don't get me wrong. Not at all. I get it. Life is hard. People are very busy. They're doing the best they can. No judgment in any way. But everyone needs some hobbies. You need some things that you're passionate about, some things that turn your head, some things that you're interested in. Usually that's something creative. It doesn't have to be. Some people's hobbies are more athletic, and that's okay too. But being creative helps to continue to stretch your brain. It helps you to continue to learn. It helps you to continue to dig deep. So, what if you pick up a new hobby this summer? Or maybe you just dig back into a hobby that you've had for a long time. It doesn't matter what you do. I want to be really clear about that. It doesn't matter what you do. It just has to be something that speaks to you in some way. So, perhaps you learn how to paint. Or maybe you go back to something that you already loved. Writing, glasswork, music, photography. Gardening, cooking, journaling, sewing, decorating, or a billion other things that could be considered a hobby or a creative endeavor. Maybe it's just rearranging flowers in a jar on the table. It doesn't have to be anything specific. It doesn't have to be good, even. I failed 4 vases in the last 2 days. Such is life. Am I going to stop trying? No. Now I'm more determined than ever to make those damn vases work. But creativity isn't just about outcome. It's about your connection to yourself and to your intuition. It's about giving yourself permission to try. And of course, the internet is loaded with gazillions of videos of people doing creative things. And that to me is cool because it gives you some ideas of things that you might want to try. Most of the things I do, I started doing because I saw someone else doing it on the internet and I thought it looked amazing and I had to give it a go. Why not you? Learning something new. Being a beginner at something you've done before. You were all a kindergartner at some point, the freshman. You were the new hire. You were new in a family, right? You've been out of your comfort zone before. What if you did it on purpose? What if you signed up for a class or a workshop? or attended a group or a function, joined a study group or a book group, or a hiking group or a gardening group or a cooking group, or a billion other things. It could be anything. But what if you chose something this summer that you want to learn and you found a way to do it? And that, of course, is not to discount taking online stuff, because that's sometimes the very best option, and sometimes it's the only way to do the thing you want to do if whatever you're thinking about isn't offered in your town. But learning something new is an incredible way to help your brain to stay active and functional. It's a great way to help release endorphins. And it's a great way to help you to live more richly. Here's the thing about learning as an adult. It can just be fun, without pressure, so that it can be more open-ended, it can be more creative, it can be more suited to you, versus learning for a grade. Now, some of you might still be in school, or going back to school. Maybe you've considered going back to college. Do it. Do it for you. But know that going back to take a class and learning as an adult is very different than learning as a kid. And it's pretty great. How about books? Obviously, reading was going to be a part of this list. How could it not? Maybe you build a small stack of books that you want to read. It could be print books. It could be Kindle books. Or other online books, right? You can be whatever works for you. Some people like to hold that book in their hand and they don't like digital reading. And some people only digitally read. I only digitally read. And it's actually just more out of function for me, because my Kindle or my phone are lighter and easier for me to manage than a book that eventually is going to make my arms and my wrist hurt. So it's easier for me, so that's what I do. But whatever works for you is what you should do. Or maybe you do a little bit of both. But read whatever you want. Fiction, growth, curiosity, comfort, trash novels, your guilty pleasures no one has to know about. Old favorites that made you feel a certain kind of way in junior high. You want to go back to read Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Or or maybe The Grapes of Wrath. That's up to you. Think about books that fascinate you, about people that fascinate you, or historical fiction. If you have an era or an area that have always spoken to your soul, that maybe you feel like you have a past life connection to, look for historical fiction that fits the bill. That's an amazing way to give real life to periods of time and areas that maybe you've never even visited, but scream at your soul somehow. But the possibilities are endless. You can read everywhere. Read in the sun. Read before bed. Read under the trees. Read curled up with the cat and a cup of tea. Read at the doctor's office while you're standing in line. At every coffee shop. Just read. It's also super good for your brain. Taste the world around you. What if this summer you made a plan to try some new restaurants, try some new dishes, maybe visit a local market. Maybe you make a plan to explore more ethnic food. That's my goal for the summer. There's a few things. I would like to visit a Mediterranean restaurant and an Ethiopian restaurant. So we don't have either of those things where I live, but We do have them in Boise. So next time I visit the kids, we're going to eat Mediterranean and then we're going to find Ethiopian. But considering what you haven't had before and trying it is a great way to foster community. It's a great way for you to feel more connected to others and to the world. You can also cook, right? Whether you're cooking ethnic food or you're just cooking food, it's so easy to find recipes, ideas, see what other people are doing. This is Scott and I's probably our downfall. But not really, but we send reels and recipes back and forth, and then eventually something makes it onto the shopping list and we'll try something. And some things are keepers and some things aren't. But consider shaking it up a little bit, trying some new recipes, maybe even trying a new technique. Maybe you learn how to laminate or something crazy like that. I'm not doing that, but you can. But playing around with cooking is very creative and it's a great way to live your best life. Local exploration. There's a statistic out there about people in their general areas that people are more likely to go sightsee and travel outside of their general areas that have not visited, or at least not visited recently, their local touristy areas, their local sightseeing areas. It was a surprising number of people that go everywhere else to visit the parks, the trails, the museums, and they don't do those things in their own towns. Isn't that crazy? When I read that statistic, though, I realized this was several years ago, but I realized that I had never been all the way through Yellowstone Park. I'd been through pieces of it, but I'd never taken like the entire loop and been through the entire thing and done all of the things. So we remedied that. And we try to, go to Yellowstone a few times a year now, but I thought that was really fascinating, and it really made me start looking around a little bit more at what is here that I have never visited, that I have never done. I think that's a crazy thing. So my challenge to you is to do some local exploration. Now, if this is a town that you've lived in your whole life, there'll be less than if it's a town that you haven't lived in very long, obviously, but there are hidden gems everywhere. Parks, trails, small museums, roadside stops, just quiet corners in your own town, markets, shows, displays. We have an aquarium, and we've never been there. And you know how Scott feels about fish, but we've never visited. Why? I don't know. I've been desperately trying to get him to Salt Lake to go to their really cool aquarium there, but never even bothered to spend a dime to go to our local aquarium. So we'll fix that. But that's what I mean. What do you have that's local? If you want to plan a big cool trip and go do some traveling this summer, please do. By all means, more power to you. But if that's not in the cards for you, and it isn't for a lot of people, consider what you have locally. Gentle changes at home. Now, look, not everybody is going to be out remodeling their kitchen this summer or completely redecorating or getting new furniture and stuff like that. Of course, you're not. I mean, maybe you will, but most of us will not be doing that. However, don't forget that your space holds your energy, and some shifts can really help how you feel. So, every season, it's worth evaluating. You have dead plants that need to be thrown away? Does everything need to be dusted? Is it time to refresh the throw on the couch or maybe put a new tablecloth on the table? Adding color and things like pillows, throws, tablecloths, Sometimes an easy window treatment like a scarf, things like that, are really easy ways to refresh space, to change the energy of space. Open the windows. Rearrange the furniture. That's an easy one. Well, if you have help. You can add some fresh flowers or a new plant. Clear a surface. Light a candle. You don't have to make huge changes to make some changes that help to liven up your space, to make it feel more like you or the current you. You have been, since you were born, and you always will be till the day that you die, been changing. That's just a part of being alive. So if everything in your house is the same as it's been for the last 20 years, your house has not caught up to you. So do a few things that are you. Grow something. There is something very grounding about tending to life, taking care of things, growing things. There's a really interesting study. It was a poverty study, but as a part of this study, the researchers had interviewed a whole bunch of men in prison, trying to help determine, and then a whole bunch of men not in prison that came from similar backgrounds, to try to determine what difference, if any, they could pinpoint. And one of the most interesting things that they found was that people who learned to grow things as children, kids who worked in the garden with grandma and grandpa, kids that helped their mom, kids that knew how to plant things and help grow things, were much less likely to go to prison as young adults. There's a lot that could be said about that. Obviously, just having maybe the attention of the adults around them may have changed the game for them. Because no kid learns how to grow something without somebody teaching them. No adult learns how to grow something without somebody teaching them. That's kind of a fundamental part of learning how to grow things, is learning how to grow things, right? So there could be an argument there that this was more about nurture, you know, more about the time and space that someone gave them. But there's also a lesson there in starting something and nurturing it to completion, in witnessing the cycle of life, right? In early spring, you get your soil, you turn that soil, or perhaps you're starting something in a cup in the house, but either way, you plant that seed, you water it, you give it the appropriate care for what it would need to germinate and start, or perhaps you buy plants that are already started, whatever. And then you plant that thing in the garden or in a pot, and then you keep an eye on it. Right? And you water it and you take care of it. Maybe you occasionally fertilize it. And then perhaps that grows into a larger plant and creates a fruit or a vegetable. And then at some point you harvest that thing and you eat it or you share it. And then eventually the plant dies back. You probably remove it from the earth and get ready for next year. That process somehow changes something about the way young men feel in a way that kept some of them from going to prison. I just think that's really fascinating. And I think that prison aside, because that's probably not most of you, prison aside, I think that growing things, even if you think you're bad at it, because I know right now some of you are like, I have a black thumb. I can't do it. Everything I grow dies. Okay, that's fine. Keep trying. Keep trying. You will find something you can grow that chooses to live. I promise. That fits with the way you do things. I promise. Just keep trying. But growing is good for your soul. This could be flowers or herbs or a little garden or just a single pot on the windowsill or a pot of flowers next to your front door or whatever. But grow something. It's good for you. How about caring for the earth? This is a really powerful way to foster your connection to the earth, your root chakra, also just your community. Pick up litter on a walk. Reduce something small in your daily habits. Support local growers. This is the big one. Does everything you consume come from the grocery store? It's okay if it does. There's no judgment. But you may consider this year seeking out farmers markets, people on Marketplace, or other venues that are selling the stuff that they grow, or the bees, you know, the honey they keep from their bees, or, you know, a product that they make. But consider supporting local growers where you can and as much as you can. That's a powerful way to connect you to the energy of the earth where you live, as well as to foster community. It's also a powerful way to meet some pretty cool people, because those that are growing and selling are supporting community too. Obviously, you don't have to do everything. You probably won't do everything. But I'm just hoping I can get your wheels turning about things that you can do to help give yourself a richer experience this season. And I don't just mean this summer, I mean now. Maybe it feels like summer where you live. It's still spring here, but this whole season of spring into summer and into fall, make some plans now. Start thinking about what you want to do and let yourself do it. If you need to save a little bit, budget a little bit, plan a little bit, do that too. I just want us all to remember that we're here to thrive, not just survive. Survive is what your body is geared to do. That's your reptilian brain, right? You survive. You eat, you drink, you sleep, you find shelter. That's surviving. But thriving means that you take a few steps outside of that to do it more intentionally, bigger, to do things that nurture your brain and your spirit. Okay. In Kelly's Refeminist History, she's talking about her goddess justice arc calendar, and what April was about, and what we can expect moving into May. Interesting stuff. She's been working really hard over at her Patreon with a lot of cool stuff. Okay, I made a little handout of season intentions. Just asked you some questions about things, gave you a prompt so that you can think about creative things I want to try, something new I'm willing to try. I mean, you can go bungee jumping if you want, but you don't have to. You could do something much easier. Books I want to get lost in, places I want to explore, new foods or recipes I want to try, ways I'll freshen up my space, something I want to grow or nurture, one small way I'll care for the earth. This season, I'm going to let myself do what? That is up to you. Okay. Christy's energy exercise is Calm Mind. Really good one when people are just feeling really scattered and like their brain just is not cooperating with thinking. Do you ever feel like that? Your brain's just not cooperating with thinking? Yeah, I get it. Okay. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. There's always something going on. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that's what I've got for Luminous today. And I hope you found some gems in there that help you out as well. Let's see. There we go. Okay. So, up and coming this next week, it is my hope for you that you are able to get some solitude because that's what keeps coming up for the daily dish. Everybody's a little bit emotionally withdrawn. Seems like everybody needs a bit of a break. And so I hope you can get it if that's you and that's what you need. Sometimes that takes setting some boundaries. Sometimes it takes just shutting off your phone for a bit. But if you need a break and you need a little bit of space and time, please give yourself that and ask for it. And honestly, expect it. Everybody deserves that from time to time. So I hope that you guys are able to get so or get there. That just keeps coming up though the last few days. This need for solitude, emotional withdrawal, people just the world feels harsh and nobody wants to play in it right now. So Amy did go back to college in her 40s. She said, "I'm loving college as an adult. It is much better in my 40s than in my 20s." Do you think, Amy, that part of it's the power balance? I've always thought this. You get out of high school, you get into college, and suddenly, like most classes don't take roll, they don't have a seating assignment, they don't actually give a shit if you're there. They just care that you paid and you might have a professor here or there that wants to make sure you come, but it's a very different experience than being in high school where you have to have a note to miss and be accountable to somebody else. And now you're suddenly just accountable to you, and you don't really understand the power dynamic between yourself and the school and your professors. And I think when you get a little bit older, like you are in your 40s, the power balance changes a lot. And the only person you're accountable to is yourself. Like it was when you were in your 20s, but maybe not, because maybe your parents were paying for you to be in college, you know? It's just a different vibe. But now, this is just for you. Nobody made you be here. You are here because you chose to be here. You're spending your money, and it's just a different feeling. So I'm glad you're loving it, and I've heard this a lot from people who go back to school when they're adults. JR said that's confirmation for her. She's also thinking about going back to college. Oh, do it, JR. Go for it. Hey, Quelly, good to see you. That's awesome. All righty. Well, Amy said I 100% missed so much class in my 20s because I could. Yeah. I think a lot of kids kind of do the pendulum, you know? Like in high school you had to be there, so you get to college and you don't. And so you swing way too far one way, and then you're flunking your classes, and so you have to kind of try and get back in alignment. And you might also be trying to figure out how to live on your own for the first time and take care of yourself and get your shit done, and it's a lot. It's a lot. But as a more stable adult that has your shit together, it is very different. I love it. Alrighty. Well, guys, don't forget I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com, and you can find me over there every day. If you go over there and you need to talk to me, and of course I can help you with a psychic reading, animal communication, mediumship. I do a ton of energy work at 12listen. So whatever I can help you with, I'm here for. If you head over there to find me and I'm not there, just do a callback request or a scheduled call and I'll get right back with you. It usually doesn't take me very long, so I'm happy to connect and you're never bothering me. Sometimes you guys call me and you say things like, "I'm sorry to bother you with this," or "This might be stupid, but babe, no. If it's important to you, it's important to me. Period. Period." There's never a day that I'm thinking to myself, "Wow, there's bigger problems in the world than this." Absolutely not. If it's important to you, it's important to me. Period. So please don't ever feel like you're bothering me or that whatever you're bringing to me isn't important enough. It is. I promise. Alrighty, well, I will be back to the best of my awareness next week. Same place, same time. You guys, please take good care of yourselves. Maybe I'll have a new vase to show you next week that turned out. We'll see. This has been another production. Well, this has been the Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. Take care.